appreciate your sharing with us about your thoughts and about what it means to look forward to becoming a servant of the Lord. Well, this evening, before we take up the Lord's word, let's look at today's memory verse. And it's from Isaiah 42, verse 6. And it's a wonderful passage for us to recite and to dwell upon. Well, let's recite it together. Isaiah 42, verse 6. Ready, go. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. You know, this is a very wonderful prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah servant. And God gives this wonderful promises that he would call him righteousness, hold his hand, keep him, that he will be a covenant to the people. The Lord Jesus was the one that initiated the new covenant, and he would be a light to the Gentiles. And these are wonderful promises that we want to appreciate concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to also learn from him how we can too be specially called to be his servant. Well, let's recite it one more time. Isaiah 42, verse 6. Ready, go. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Well, as I said, this will probably be our last evening service for a while. Next Sunday, we are going to have only one combined worship because we're all going for the family camp, and that's something that we all want to especially anticipate and to pray about. Well, let's go to God in prayer before we begin the Lord's word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for this time that we can read your words and to study it. Teach us, Lord, to be that much more like the Lord Jesus Christ in being the kind of servant that he was. Teach us deep lessons that we would be able to appreciate the Lord Jesus in a far greater manner, yet at the same time that we would indeed grow in our faith, in our life, in our ministry for you. We look forward to next week's camp, and we pray that you will indeed prepare our hearts, and we look forward to a wonderful time in just meeting with you and being with you, and to be able to learn what it means to be overcomers. We ask that you will specially bless each and every part of the camp. We also pray that you will be with us even as we study your words this evening. Bless our time together and lighten our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, an important instrument of the servant of the Lord is his tongue. Speaking is very much part and parcel in the ministry of the servant of the Lord. There are a number of ways in which he would have to speak, whether it is preaching, whether it is teaching, counseling, leading in worship, answering a question, evangelism. In fact, each and every part or aspect of his ministry would require him to speak for the Lord. Speaking is very much part and parcel of the Lord Jesus' ministry. Let's turn to Isaiah 50, verse 4, and we read, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak." You know, he had the tongue of the learned. He was able to learn as the learned. And there are many lessons that we can learn from the Lord Jesus as he was trained to become a servant of the Lord. Now, central to the way in which he ministered, in the way he spoke, was the Word of God. In everything that he said, in everything that he was entrusted with concerning ministry, he brought in the Word of God. His tongue articulated the word of God. Now this is most crucial in the light of today, when you see many so-called servants of the Lord who pass off as ministers, and yet at the same time they teach things that are really not from the word of God. They have set aside the word of God. They have turned to prophecy, they have turned to worldly wisdom, secular wisdom, positive thinking, to replace the word of God. And that's the context of ministry today in the world, even in Singapore. And it's so important for us as servants of the Lord that we must speak the word of God. This is the kind of servants that we must be, as the Lord Jesus has exemplified. I mean, I was just talking to Leanne and some of the interns this week, and she was just sharing with me about how she had some of her schoolmates, this is how they sought to reach out to a person, and they said this is how the Spirit of God is leading them. You know, the Spirit of God will tell them, you know, somebody would be, one person would think, oh, maybe he's wearing a yellow t-shirt. This other person would think, oh, the Spirit of God revealed he's wearing spectacles. And then this third person would think, okay, the Spirit of God is telling me that he will be wearing, you know, he will be having a leather bag or something like that. So three of them will merge together. This person that we are supposed to minister, that the Spirit of God is leading us to, is wearing spectacles, he's wearing a yellow t-shirt, and he has a yellow leather bag. And, you know, it's something like that, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's a kind of ridiculous perspectives or doctrines concerning the Holy Spirit. And to me, that is really setting aside the Word of God. We want to understand how the Lord Jesus was able to prepare himself for ministry. And, well, let's look at Isaiah 50, verse 4. I think to me the key thing about learning to speak the Word of God is that we need to be prepared in the Word of God. So in verse 4 we read, "He awakens me morning by morning." Okay, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. The best time in which the Lord will listen to his Father is morning, the early morning. Why morning? Because really, the rest of the day will be very much full of ministry. He has people to heal, he has people to reach out to minister. You know, his day is full. He doesn't have any time whatsoever. So it's very important that early in the morning, he would take time to be awakened by his Father to listen to what he is speaking to him about. Now, this was something that we actually see being practiced in Mark 1:35. Listen to Mark 1:35. Keep a finger at Isaiah 50. And we read in Mark 1:35, and this was something that Pastor taught at SSS 4 last Sunday. And we read, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Now very interestingly, there are three adverbs here that is related to risen up. Okay? Proi, eknoka, lian. Okay? These three adverbs describe for us three things. One, early morning. Two, in the night, in the dark. And it was still, lian means still in the night. So what these three adverbs describe for us, how early it was in which the Lord Jesus would rise up and he would prepare himself and he would ready himself for ministry. So anastas is really the word to rise up. And What is being described here is that early in the morning, still when it is dark, he would rise up way before, you know, he would go up and to minister. And there he prayed. Now to me, one of the key words is the word there. Early in the morning, and there he was. I mean, let me ask you, early in the morning, where are you? That's the thing, is you ask yourself, he was there praying. And he made all that effort to be there in order to rise up and to be able to pray, in order to listen to what his father has to say to him. Now, all this is part of his preparation. If you see it as preparation for the day, you cannot miss out on a preparation. If you are missing out on preparation, then you are unprepared for the day. It's an important event of the day. Of all the things that we need to do, to me, preparation for the day is most crucial. Because if not, then you will be unprepared for the day. The Lord Jesus saw it as preparation. This was something that Pastor taught us right from the very beginning of our training and with Pastor Mitch and myself. And he taught us this passage. And this passage is something that has been close to my own heart for 20 years. A principle of morning by morning, where you rise up and you prepare yourself for the day. Well, I mean, I recognize that learning what it means to rise up early in the morning is a bit of a challenge. I mean, that is something that I had to learn. There was once, long, long time ago, where I would require 9 hours of sleep. I know some of you still have 9 hours of sleep, right? But I would require 9 hours of sleep. But you know, over the years, I learned to cut down, okay? So I went from 9 to 8 to 7, you know. What comes after 7? 6, you know. And after that, you know, for a long time, it was 5.5 hours. And then last year at the family camp, I challenged myself. I wanted to rely on the grace of God even more. And one thing that I told myself, you know what? 5 hours. And from last year onwards, I've been waking up at 5 a.m. each day, morning by morning. And I don't mean, you know, waking up 5 a.m. and stoning there, which many of us do also. It's not about waking up only, but waking up to stone, it doesn't help very much. But, you know, waking up and just prepared, ready to listen to what the Lord has to say. And it's crucial. Learning what it means to listen to the Lord, okay? Which is what Isaiah 50 verse 4 is all about. There is a place of learning. There's a place in which you want to commune with the Father. He will awaken the ear to listen. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. What we see here is a very special communion between the Son and the Father. There's a special relationship here. The Father would awaken the ear of the Lord, and there's a greater sense of readiness. Are we ready? See, so before even you listen to the Word of God, you have to ask yourself, are you ready? If you're sleepy, you're not ready. And you will not be able to hear beyond a certain level. So you need to ready yourself. And that's what it means here. He will awaken the ear to listen. He would be able to then learn deep lessons of faith from the Scriptures. And for the Lord Jesus, it was to listen as the learner, to listen as a scholar, to raise questions, to interact, to think it through. You know, when you are thinking through the Word of God, it will wake you up in a sense. You know, you are, wow, this is something that is really interesting. And you are thinking it through. Verse 5, he goes on to say, the Lord God has opened my ear. But then, you know, as you ready yourself, then you will listen. You will listen to what the Lord has to say. And you are to listen carefully. Now turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 26. And we catch a glimpse of how this relationship with, you know, between the Father and the Son was demonstrated. In John chapter 8, verse 26, the Lord Jesus describes this. He says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. I do nothing of myself. See, that's so crucial about this relationship with the Father. You do nothing of yourself. Everything is from God. Everything that you would do or you would say is really determined by God himself. He would teach you as to what to say. So morning by morning, the Lord Jesus would wake up and he would hear, Lord, what would you want me to say to the people today? And he would teach him. He will be instructed. He will be inspired by the Word of God. And when you are inspired by the Word of God, this is something that will be reflected in your ministry. Morning by morning, each and every day, is a full day of ministry. And yet, he cannot begin that day unless he is prepared for that day. Unless he is prepared for that ministry. Unless he is prepared by the Word of God to be able for him to speak. You know, one of the things that I like to do when I wake up and to be with the Lord is that I like to open up my Greek text and I like to translate. And that's a joy to me now. It wasn't in the past, but it is now. And, you know, every morning I translate. I translate a passage that I've been studying or been learning. I translate a passage that I'm going to teach in the future. So this past couple of weeks, I've been translating passages that I'm going to teach at the family camp. And, you know, it's a joy. Some of the passages are hard, but, you know, it's to be able to listen to what the Lord is trying to say to you, to wait upon him. And I'm anticipating the time in which when I be at a family camp. Last year's family camp was really a special time. Really. You know, every morning when I wake up and I, you know, of course I have all my notes and I prepared already. But it's more than just the preparation of the notes. You know, I would just stand before God and I'll pray. And for the next 2 hours, I'll prepare my heart. And just stand in awe, I'll read his word until the Lord will speak to my heart. And then I know that I'm prepared. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this year's camp also. And I'm really looking forward to the time that I'll spend with him. And I'll come before him and I'll ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to say today? I'd like to commune with him. And I hope that that's something that you will also learn to do. Even as we seek to be servants of the Lord, even as we come for the camp. That each and every day, may the Lord speak to your heart. As you listen to him morning by morning. And our attitude of learning is what we read in verse 5. It says, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. The Lord Jesus, there was no rebellion. There was no turning away. There was acceptance. This was his attitude of learning. He fully complied with what the Lord wanted him to do and to say according to his word. Now this stood in contrast to Israel. If you would look at Isaiah 50, the first part, you see the kind of relationship that Israel had with with God. And thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? What is he trying to describe here is an estrangement of relationship between Israel and with God. Which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourself, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Nobody answered the call in which God gave to Israel. You know what? They chose to rebel. They did not listen. Nobody heard that call. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? There was no trust whatsoever. It was a very painful relationship. And this is not the kind of relationship that we must have. There was no closeness, there was no joy, there was no sense of belonging. But when you look at the Lord Jesus, we stood a stark contrast with Israel as the servant of the Lord. And he was one that truly learned what it means to prepare his heart to commune with his Father for ministry. Let's learn from the Lord's example. Now, even as we prepare our hearts in the Word of God for our lives, for each and every day, for ministry, what is it that we should become? For the Lord Jesus, he became a person of the Word. He became the living Word. So let's look at verse 4 again. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The idea of the learned, you know, it talks about what it means to be a scholar. It means to be one who is truly educated, one who is able to have higher learning. And this is the kind of approach in which the Lord Jesus sought to study the Word of God. And not only that, he had the tongue of the learned. He would be a person that was wise in the Word of God. He would have discernment. He knew what to say, to speak. In fact, whatever he spoke, especially when he began his ministry, many people became amazed. Turn me to Luke 4, verse 17. And we read of how the Lord Jesus began his ministry and how he applied the scriptures and how he sought to fulfill the scriptures. In Luke 4, verse 17, we read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The Lord Jesus knew the scriptures. Sometimes you ask yourself, what is it that God would say to him? And I would think that God would have gone through all the passages that concerned him, that he was meant to fulfill, interacted with him, helped him to understand, and to recognize, you know, for the Lord Jesus to recognize, to understand that this was scripture that he should fulfill. And you know, he had gracious words. He spoke gracious words, and the people marveled. This is what it means to be a person who is learned in the Word, where you know how to apply the Word of God. To me, one of the greatest challenges of being a servant of the Lord, it's not just about knowing the Word of God. It's not just about understanding the Word of God. It is about applying the Word of God. How do you apply the Word of God? How do you apply it to yourself? How do you apply it to others? And that takes understanding. Now, in verse 4, it goes on to say that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. The Lord Jesus, he was a person who understood his task. His task of speaking the word as a servant of the Lord. He became a person of the word as a servant. Whatever he said, whatever ministry that he had, he spoke the word of God. He knew the word of God. He recognizes that different people will go through different seasons in life. And how it is important to have a word for each and every person who went through different seasons. You know, it will be a timely word. It will be a word from the scriptures. And that's something that as pastor that, you know, I've discovered over the years. When you counsel with people, when you talk to people, the challenge is, what do you say to them to encourage them when they are downtrodden, when they are discouraged? You know, to me, you can have positive thinking. You can say all kinds of, oh, you know, things will be better. You know, no pain, no gain. I don't know whether that will help. But, you know, to me, end of the day, it is the scriptures that lies the power of God to help a person in his life. And whether it is preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's counseling, the word of God must come to be applied in the context of ministry. You know? So Ben Chong talked about, you know, he's going to teach 9 and 10 years old children at the family camp. And we're glad for them to come in to have the exposure to, and I can understand, it's, you know, it can be challenging. Whether teaching at different levels, sometimes you think, oh, it's easier. No, it's not easier. Okay, I used to teach Ben Chong and Ben Kwa and, you know, and all of them, as what he has shared before, and it wasn't easy. Yeah, so, you know, but it was a joy also. And we learn what it means to interact with them. So Ben Chong, now is your time. This is what you call retribution. Well, not kidding. But you know, it's really learning what it means to minister with the Word of God. You know, last week I was talking to someone who was, you know, who is outside, not from our church, and she came to me and asked me questions about tongue speaking. And she said that in the church, the pastor was, you know, while he was speaking, he was speaking tongues and things like that. And she was, you know, very puzzled, very confused. So she came and I spoke to her and I began to explain what it means, you know, that tongues have ceased, that it's not something that we should practice today. And she was, you know, very much enlightened. And in fact, she went on to say, you know, I'm very, very glad that, you know, you spoke to me. It's amazing to see how the pastors in this church would take the time and the trouble to talk to me. She said that, you know, when she raised these similar questions to the leaders over in the other side, she was told, go and talk to your cell group leader. You know, go and ask them. Don't ask me. And, you know, so she said, wow, you know, you guys as pastors are willing to take the time. I say, yeah, our doors are always open, we're more than happy. And she said, you know, I'm not even a member and you will take the trouble to talk to me. I say, yes, this is how we've always been. To anybody who is seeking, we will explain and we will help you in terms of how we can share with you the Lord's word. And one of the greatest challenges of being a pastor is, it's not just about preaching, ministering. It's about when people ask you questions. And when they raise questions and, you know, you ask yourself, okay, how do I answer this question? And it's not easy. Every day, you know, every day there's a question. I mean, these interns, they're always during lunch, you know, they give you no peace. No, I mean, it's a joy, but they will always be asking questions, which is good, which I'm glad for, really. But, you know, it's I remember the earlier years, and there was a real struggle because you didn't have all the knowledge, you didn't have all the understanding, and, you know, that's something that we all have to learn. And it can get challenging at times. But after a while, as you grow in knowledge, as you grow in understanding, as you are fed with the Word of God, as you listen to the Word of God, as each day you grow your reservoir of knowledge, then along the way, somehow something click, where you begin to understand how you can answer these questions and be able to go from there. And I'm just challenged so much more how we need to be people of the Word of God, to be a person of the Word, that each and every day what you say, what comes forth, is the Word of God. As the Lord was prepared, and as he became, you know, he was prepared in the Word of God, and he became a person of the Word, he also sought to practice the Word of God. And this was very much seen in him fulfilling the Word of God. Many prophecies were written about him, and he fulfilled each and every one of them. He understood it, he applied it in the context of his life, and he fulfilled it. He had every opportunity to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to counsel people with the Word of God. You know, whether it was Nicodemus, whether it was the Samaritan woman, whether it was the woman that was caught in adultery, everything he said was in line with the Word of God. You know, he practiced what was said concerning him. He related the Word of God in every ministry that he had. He practiced the Word of God. You know, he fulfilled the law. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, we read, God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. You know, it was a wonderful comparison. Prophets of old, in the Old Testament, right, they spoke the Word of God. And here we have in this time, the New Testament, the Lord Jesus will be the spokesperson of God. He would speak what God wants him to say. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we see how we have another reference to how the Lord Jesus sought to fulfill all that was written of him. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7 read, Then I said, Behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. He spoke of what he said of God, that he had come with the knowledge of all that was written of him in the scriptures. He saw it as the will of God, and he fulfilled each and every one of those words. You know, it's so important for us to practice the Word of God by fulfilling it. This is the Word of God. This is something that I want to fulfill in my life. We also want to learn how the Lord Jesus had a kind of courage to practice the Word of God. You know, practicing the Word of God is not easy at times. Would you do whatever it takes to fulfill that Word of God? And the Lord Jesus had courage. Let's go back to Isaiah 50. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, we read of the courage of the Lord Jesus. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. You know, there are times when we share the Word of God, when we speak of the Word of God, not everybody is going to receive it well. Your friends may not receive it well. Your family may not receive it well. people in general may not receive it well. In fact, they might even react. For the Lord Jesus Christ, there were many who reacted, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, you know, all of them, they reacted to the Lord Jesus. The Jews, the multitudes, they could not accept what the Lord Jesus taught, and they reacted. They struck him, they plucked out his beard, they shamed him, they spit on him. Wow, these were difficulties. But you know, that's what learning to commune with the Lord is, doesn't leave you weakened. Now, it doesn't mean you wake up early in the morning and then you are so tired and you're just so tired for the rest of the day. Then you're going about it the wrong way. When you wake up early in the morning, you spend time with the Lord and you commune with Him, it strengthens you for the day. And that's how you are prepared for the day. And the Lord Jesus was specially prepared and He was strengthened. And He became like a flint. Verse 7. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. A flint is really a very, very strong rock. It's something that is so solid, it's hard. And the Lord Jesus became that solid rock that was undeterred in any way. He did whatever it took for Him to fulfill the scriptures. He was that rock that was not moved in any way, even though there was much suffering to behold. He did not shy away from difficulties. He faced it head on. He embraced it. He fought against it. He was able to practice the Word of God. You know, over the years, I've seen how Pastor has, you know, ministered with much courage. There are times when people will say things against him, against our church. Again, you know, we were talking to the interns and they were asking about when we changed our name. And there was a time when, you know, we changed our name to, what's the name? Independent Presbyterian Church. And you know what? Not everybody was accepting of it. In fact, some people say, oh, you know, why must be independent? Why you're so exclusive? And so on and so forth. Not everybody's going to understand what we seek to do. But we believe in what we do. And we will stand firm in what what we want to do. And for Pastor, he had to face the brunt of this kind of reviling and so on and so forth. Of course, Pastor has his own health problems. And over the years, you've seen him going through operation after operation. And he was telling us about his knees, his problems with his knees. And as we go into family camp, he's going to have to suffer that pain. And just this weekend, he was just sharing this morning about how he has this pain at, you know, the spondylosis, where he has a pain in his back. And it would be a painful time for him too. And these are challenges of ministry. I had my own fair share of challenges too. But yet, at the same time, I learned. I learn what it means to be strong. Whether it's health issues, you have gastric, you have, you know, all kinds of aches and pains along the way, but you rise up to the challenge. And finally, we learn what it means to have faith as the Lord Jesus had. Did he have faith enough to trust his Father to help him? The answer is yes. Look at verse 7. It says, "For the Lord God will help me." Verse 9, "Surely the Lord God will help me." No matter what we go through, will the Lord help us? The answer is yes. No matter how great the challenge is, the Lord will help us. He will uphold us. Can we have that faith to believe? And over the years, I've seen how the Lord has helped me in ministry again and again and again. There was one time when we had to do 3 funerals together. That was one time when Pastor was away. So whenever he goes on his long breaks, we all are very, Pastor Mitch and I, we're always very, not say we are happy for him, But we also little weary, you know, because you never know what the Lord would bring to, you know, in His absence. And that was not the first time, you know. And so whenever He comes back, we are all breathe a sigh of relief. But, you know, but we are up to the challenge. You know, like a flint, we rise up to minister. And there are times when we will have to go through all kinds of challenges. And, you know, I was very concerned this weekend for my wife. She is been in pain since Friday. She has also a neck problem that has affected her arm. And the last two nights, she has not been sleeping well. And, you know, it's been very, very painful. And, you know, as a husband, I told her, I say, if I can, I would suffer the pain on your behalf. But unfortunately, I can't. And I feel the pain, you know, with you and so on and so forth. And yet at the same time, I thank God that, you know, she tried a number of painkillers, but it's not really helped. And so this morning I was just praying, Lord, you know, somehow help her. And, you know, finally got Effie to help further. Dr. Effie has been helping her. And she finally got some medicine that helped to some extent, but made her a bit groggy, made her a little high. So, hi, dear. But, you know, but she's much better now, a little bit better. But, you know, we learn what it means to have faith, and learning what it means to look to the Lord for the help in ministry. And, you know, that's how we want to learn to be that servant of the Lord. We thank God for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to fulfill everything that God called Him to do. He prepared Himself in the Word of God. He became a person of the Word of God. And He practiced the Word of God in His life and especially His ministry. And that's something for us to follow as our example. May our hearts truly be challenged to be the kind of servant the Lord Jesus is. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank You for the Lord Jesus and His example in how He had that special close relationship, that symbiotic relationship with His Father, that He would not do anything of Himself, but that He would listen to His Father and to follow, to speak what His Father had revealed to Him. We pray, Lord, that You will teach us to learn from His example, to be that person of the Word of God, and to be able to practice the Word of God. We pray that You will encourage our hearts, even as we seek to live for You. We look forward to the family camp. May we be that much more challenged to be overcomers as we serve You. We also pray that You will bless this offering as we seek to give it to You. May You use it for the furtherance of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's collect our offering. Let's remain standing as I give to You the Lord's benediction. And now may the love of God truly fill our lives, that we will be able to appreciate His word that has been given to us, that we would seek to learn, to discover that word morning by morning as we listen to our Heavenly Father. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ truly prove sufficient for all of our needs, that we will seek to follow His example of the kind of service that He will give, that He will prepare Himself, that He will be the person of the Word of God as He seeks to serve. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit touch our lives and move our hearts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the kind of servant that would be able to speak a word to those who are weary in their time of season. We pray that You will indeed bless us both now and forever till Christ comes for us, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.